ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ డైరీ బై మధుసూరి హరిసూరి ప్రభు. The head of the traveling bus program here in Australia, Sabhapati Das, another local devotees, has been very diligent in making arrangements for Prabhupada to meet many important interested people as Babu. This afternoon, the young men from Mormon Church came to visit. They were very respectful and seemed to appreciate the disciplined life of Prabhupada's devotees. They had a lengthy, amicable discussion. Prabhupada brought forth his standard criticism that Christians in general are not following Christ's teachings, that they claim him as Savior. And the visitors agreed, but explained that their particular church did try to follow the instructions of Christ. At one point, Prabhupada said, devotees accept Jesus as Guru. But as usual with Christians, their meat eating and our deity worship proved to be points of contention. As he often does in discussions with Christians, Srila Prabhupada quoted the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," and told them that Christians disobey this order by supporting killing on a larger scale. One of our devotees observed that in the Book of Mormon, it even says that meat should only be taken in times of starvation and famine, that Mormons eat meat regularly. The visitors conceded this was a fact, but then pointed out that it also says if a person does not eat meat, then he cannot be considered ordained of God. So there seemed to be some contradictory statement that they weren't very clear about themselves. They then attempted to change the subject by quoting a verse from the Bible that states that one should not worship idols. They seemed to feel that Prabhupada was unfairly admonishing them for not following one commandment, yet he was also not following the commandments. Prabhupada told them that we don't worship idols, we worship God. Pointing to a book they had given him with a picture on the front cover of a temple topped with statue of an angel called Moroni, Prabhupada said they were also giving respect to a statue, but the crows come and pass through on it. Even if one considered the deities to be mere statues meant to honor a great person, Prabhupada asked them, what was good sense to keep the statues indoors or to place them outside where the crows and birds pass stool on them? One of the Mormons agreed it was better to keep such statues indoors, but the other became a little acrimonious. Okay, here are some of my good sense. You got statues in the temple and I noticed there were a lot of flies in there other night crawling all over it and doing their whatever they do. So do you mean a fly coming and crow passing stool is the same thing? Prabhupada asked, raising his eyebrow. Very good sense. It's a very good reason that because the flies cannot be checked and the crow should be allowed to pass stools. At least we stop the crows. We have done that. We don't allow the crows to come. It was a slightly uncomfortable moment and the man's companion decided it was time to leave. However, Srila Prabhupada quickly made them feel at ease again by saying that it is nice they were talking frankly. He told them he very much appreciated his short passage that he earlier read in their book about coming to the knowledge of the glory of God. That knowledge of God, he explained, is Krishna consciousness. He gave them the practical method for glorifying God. If you drink water or see sunshine or moonshine, while appreciating that we cannot manufacture these things, then drinking water, seeing moonshine and sunshine are glorifications of God. Similarly explained, when we see the deity and offering a flower, this is practically a way to glorify God. Throughout this discussion, the atmosphere remained pleasant. Prabhupada was very cordial and the guests also maintained a mood of respect, not eager to get into any arguments. They gave Prabhupada their book of Mormon and he sold each of them a signed copy of Sri Isopanishad. So they gave Prabhupada a book free and Prabhupada sold them his books. Balaram Prabhu, the temple president, passed on some rather disturbing information to me this afternoon. He said Prasadhar Swami is admitted to him that he is presently only chanting 2 rounds of japa a day instead of the prescribed 60. The reason he gave was that he was overloaded with work because he had to transcribe the Prabhupada's nightly dictations on the Srimad Bhagavatam as well as do all other duties as a secretary. This is a problem that I am not sure how to deal with. I don't want to disturb Prabhupada with it. He has enough to contend with without having to worry about his own party. At the same time, I am also reluctant to approach Pushta Krishna about it. He may not take it well. He is an intelligent man, but he doesn't like to hear any criticism of himself or suggestion that he might not be doing things correctly. The other day, I was telling Balaram about the car crash we had after leaving Vrindavan 2 weeks ago and the damage to the Mercedes. Pushta Krishna overheard us and got quite agitated and defensive because I suggested it was his fault. So for now, I think it's best to leave it and see how things develop. The local devotees are cooking for Srila Prabhupada. He has been well satisfied with their efforts. I have learned that he doesn't particularly like avocados. They offered him some for lunch and he left them aside, saying that they weren't so nice. Continuing his Bhagavad Gita lecture series, at 7:30 p.m., Prabhupada spoke on verse 4 of chapter 9. He explained how everything comes from God, how God is within everything. At one point, perhaps, as a result of his earlier conversation with the Mormons, he took the opportunity to explain why we worship deities. Here it is said, Maya Tatam Idam Sarvam Jagadavyaktamutina. And that expansion, that impersonal expansion, not manifested, we cannot see God. In person, you cannot see God in person in this expansion. Therefore, sometimes you foolishly say that, can you show me God? God is there. You have to make your eyes to see. Just like God is here in the temple, but somebody is thinking this is not God. This is a statue or an idol. They are worshipping idol. Supposing it is idol, but if God is everywhere, why is not in the idol? What is the argument? If God is everywhere, then why is not in the idol? God has the power and actually this is not idol. This is God's energy. The same example, sunshine is everywhere. So originally sunshine is the cause of everything. Similarly, God's effulgence is the cause of material things also. In the question and answer session that followed, the first query was about Prabhupada's views on psychiatry. The question was wanted to know whether psychiatric treatment was required to cure mental disorders. Prabhupada's answer was lengthy and at a time humorous, offering a definition of mental illness unknown to today's psychiatrists. First of all, we have to understand that everything is an expression of God's energy. So if you understand God, then the energies automatically understand. Yasmin vijñāte sarvam evam vijñātam bhavati. This is the Vedic injunction. If you water on the root of the tree, then whole tree becomes luxuriantly flourishing. So our proposition is, you take the root, Krishna. You will understand everything properly from the root. If you want to understand the tree, whole tree, you try to understand it from root, not from the top. So disease, any disease, if you understand the root cause of the disease, you can give proper medicine and he is cured. So psychiatrists generally, their patients are crazy fellows. Generally they treat crazy fellows, is it not? No sane man goes to a psychiatrist. The devotees are laughing as Prabhupada continued. Is it not a fact? So all these crazy men sometimes make the psychiatrist also crazy. So more or less everyone is crazy. It is not my layman's opinion, it is the opinion of big medical surgeon. There was a case in the court, murder case. The murderer pleaded that I became crazy, mad at that time. So the medical man was called to examine. He was a great civil surgeon in Calcutta. So he gave his opinion in the court that so far I have treated many patients. So my opinion is that everyone is more or less mad. More or less. It is a question of degree. So our opinion is like that. That anyone who is not under the direct connection with God is a crazy man, is a madman. Now you can treat. So we are also psychiatrists. We are pushing this Krishna consciousness because anyone who is in this material world is more or less crazy, madman. He is completely under the control of God, but still he has the audacity to say, no, I don't believe in God, crazy man. So anyone who does not believe in God is crazy shallow. You can treat him. Everyone is patient. This crazy fellow is fully under the control of material nature and is still thinking that he is independent. That is craziness. Everyone is thinking like that. So everyone is a patient of psychiatrists. How can we declare independence? There is no independence. This is knowledge. Nobody wants to die. But nature says, you must die. But the crazy fellow says, I am independent. I think like this. What is the value of your thinking? You may think in your favor, but the nature will not allow you. So everyone is crazy who is declaring independence. He is a crazy person. Srila Prabhupada complimented his inquirer. This question is very nice. Anyone who does not believe in God, does not surrender to God, is crazy fellow, that's all. After taking few more questions, he brought the discussion to the close and left the temple room outside. Left the temple room amidst a lively kirtan. Prabhupada looked exuberant and thoroughly satisfied after an active day of preaching. April 24, 1976. Despite the cold weather and the often overcast Melbourne sky, Srila Prabhupada is keeping the daily walking schedule at the botanical garden bordering the River Arrow. As he explained to Mr. Dixon yesterday, if he doesn't walk, then simply sitting all day, the body becomes jammed up. As he strolled through the green park, past the small lakes and tall reeds, he spoke about the meaning of bhakti. He spoke about the meaning of real happiness. He repeated what he told reporter Carol Jarvis a few days ago, that happiness is without, that happiness without spiritual understanding is dog's happiness. No happiness at all. That is what we are talking about, the change of guard in Delhi. Delhi, first time in the non-political government, but without spiritual understanding. They want to make people happy, they want to correct injustice, they want to provide necessities to everybody, providing necessities and doing justice and stopping corruption or whatever. India against corruption, IAC. So that will only remain empty slogan. Unless you are attracted to God, unless you are a spiritual person, if you are a sense gratifier, naturally you are uncontrolled. So sooner or later, even if you have everything, still because you don't know what to do, so we do all crazy things. So natural progression of human life is the knowledge, I am not the body, I am Atma. That will make you a gentleman. That will make you an honest man. Then you will be able to keep your word. In any case, very educated non-politicians have formed a government in Delhi. So, here Prabhupada is saying that without spiritual happiness, without spiritual understanding is dog's happiness. No happiness at all. He pointed out to a large tree and explained that because it is very dull consciousness, it can stand for 5,000 years without discomfort. But if we stand only for 5 hours, we will not be able to tolerate because our human consciousness is more developed. Therefore, one has no understanding that his suffering in the material world is simply an animal. The people who don't understand that you cannot stop suffering, you cannot correct the things here. So simply like animals doing their own things. One of the devotees ventured that sometimes a devotee is more unhappy than a materialist, because he is aware of his unhappiness. Prabhupada said, if someone is unhappy, he is not a devotee. Oh. If someone is not happy, he is not a devotee, Prabhupada says. Because that is the nature of the spiritual life. Whatever may be the material situation, if you are doing your bhajan and service, devotional service, the soul is nourishing. The soul is getting its food. So it becomes happy. Brahma-bhuta prasanna-atma. If you are really on spiritual platform, nothing can make you worry. Nothing can make you unhappy. If you really, if you are seeing the Atma, experiencing, if he is not Prasanna Atma, he is a rascal. He has not even entered devotional life. He is outside. That is the test. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, when he saw Vishnu, he said, everything is all right. I don't want anything more. Swamin Krita Dosmin. That is a Vaishnava. If he is still in want, or if he is unhappy, that means he has no spiritual life at all. He is simply making a show. Driving back to the temple, Prabhupada illustrated the meaning of the greatness by telling us an anecdote about Alexander the Great. When a thief was captured and brought before him for punishment, the thief accused Alexander the Great, "What is the difference between you and me? I am a small thief, you are a big thief, that's all. Why you are punishing me? You are a big thief. You are doing the same thing." Then he was let go. Prabhupada laughed as he looked, as he took the role of Alexander. "What is the difference? I am a big thief." He went on to explain. It means Alexander the Great. Actually he was great. Otherwise, he is the emperor and an ordinary thief is accusing him. And he said, "Yes, I am a thief." He admitted. That is greatness. If he was not great, then you would have hanged him or punished him. "Oh, you are accusing me?" But no, he accepted. That is greatness. Mistake is one fault, but to accept that I have done mistake, that is greatness. Everybody write down. Mistake is one fault, but to accept that I have done mistake, that is greatness. Pushpakrishna Maharaj recalled the morning walk last week on Juhu Beach in Mumbai, when Dr. Patel admitted he was a moodha. Therefore, Patel was not anymore a moodha. Prabhupada agreed, yes, because he has understood that what I am doing, I am moodha. In every temple, there is a tape recording of Prabhupada chanting Gayatri Mantra. This is played in the ear of anyone who refused Brahmin Diksha through mail. This afternoon, Tushtakrishna Maharaj requested Prabhupada to give him such a tape, but Prabhupada refused. Prabhupada said that there is no need for his man in New Zealand to receive Brahmin initiation, since they are only worshipping pictures, not deities. He also mentioned that men should keep their heads shaved, but most of Tushta's followers have grown their hair out. Tushtakrishna reasoned that this is because most of the men are householders. But Prabhupada tipped his head toward me and said, "So, just like our Harithauri, he is also a grihastha, but he is always clean shaven." Tushtakrishna also brought up the alleged plot against Siddha Swarupa that Sudama Vipra claimed to have uncovered during the festival in Mayapur last month. Tushta said he had read a letter proving it, but he could not produce any proof to substantiate this claim. Prabhupada started firmly. He does not accept that there is such a plot. Rather, he has been continuously asking them all to cooperate with ISKCON. They do not refuse directly, but as Tushtakrishna put it at the end of the meeting, "I do not see any chance of working together in the foreseeable future." Prabhupada's final comment was that the reason for the dissension between the two camps is envy. "Those who are envious will dry up," he said, "and those who are sincere will flourish." No doubt. Among the devotees, if someone is doing well, we should be happy to see that, even if we cannot do it ourselves. "Those who are envious will dry up," he said, and those who are sincere will flourish. Some new controversy has also arisen for Prabhupada's upcoming trip to New Zealand. News has filtered in that Krishna's men there are informing everyone that Prabhupada is going to their farm, but not to the ISKCON temple. They are claiming this as a proof that they are correct in the dispute. On hearing this, Prabhupada immediately cancelled his visit to Krishna's farm and said that they can come and see him in the temple. I have noticed that when discussing two groups, Prabhupada always refers to ISKCON as our camp and Krishna's group as them. A young, bearded, long-haired professor from a local university came to visit in late afternoon. Challenging and disrespectful, he argued with Prabhupada for an hour. He appeared quite envious of Prabhupada's achievements. Although he carefully avoided direct accusations against Prabhupada personally, he did say that he considered Prabhupada's disciples to be fanatics. Prabhupada patiently tried to explain the basic concepts of spiritual life, naturally but humbly assuming the position of an authority on the subject. But as the discussion progressed, the scholar became more and more agitated. He could not accept Prabhupada's comments in an objective way, but rather saw them as attacks on his ideas. Unable to appreciate Prabhupada's devotional understanding, whenever Prabhupada quoted Krishna from Bhagavad Gita, the professor offered an interpretation of his own. Finally, he reached the point directly insulting Prabhupada. Prabhupada had understood that his meaning was not getting through to the scholar. So he very objectively said, "It takes a little brain to understand what Krishna says." The teacher turned red and snapped, "Well, I don't think you are using any brain." At this, Guru Kup Maharaj became angry. "We invited you here as the guest of our spiritual master, and now you are insulting him. If you say anything more, you will have to leave." With a delicate movement, but Prabhupada deftly cooled the situation down. Prabhupada knows how to deal with a person who is unable to accept proper instruction, so that his false ego is not unduly ruffled. He did so expertly in this case. He simply stopped trying to preach to the man. He switched the subject away from philosophy and kept it light-hearted, calm. The man dropped his defensiveness and developed a friendlier mood. Prabhupada even had him laughing by the end of the discussion. After the meeting, the man took prasad with the devotees. He then apologized for the misunderstanding. It turned out he affiliated with some pseudo-spiritual movement, and so was already at philosophical odds with Prabhupada before the meeting began. Prabhupada later said that many people are becoming increasingly envious of the success of Hare Krishna movement. In contrast to the professor, a family of five came to pay their humble respects to His Divine Grace. All the Vaishnavas, they are all initially disciples in the Ramanuja Sampradaya. Despite their Vaishnava lineage, they also worship Panchopasana, the five primary demigods. They have been chanting Ramanam for 16 years and offer all their food to their family deities. They were very humble and respectful towards Prabhupada, and presented him with fresh fruits and few dollars dakshana. Prabhupada advised them to worship Sitaram and Lakshman in the new home come temple they are planning. He explained to them that Krishna is the topmost personality and all the demigods are his servants. It was evident that although they were initiated into Vaishnava Sampradaya, they lacked clear philosophical understanding. Nevertheless, because they are piety, they have accepted everything Prabhupada said. They were thankful to his guidance and advice. April 26, 1976. Guru Krupa Swami has been leading dynamic kirtans every morning and evening. And everyone is extremely enthusiastic. Prabhupada is very pleased with the vibrant Melbourne temple. Its beautiful deities and exuberant devotees. Since his arrival here, at least 4 or 5 new people have begun to chant on beads. And all those who come to the program listen intently to Prabhupada's lectures. Today, our Australian devotees left for Japan to join Namata Sankirtan party, which operates under Guru Kripa Maharaj's guidance. They will be collecting funds for a new farm just about to be purchased here in Australia. At the same time, Guru Kripa Maharaj wants to give big donation for the Mayapur development. In a final meeting this afternoon, Prabhupada granted the entire assembly of devotees darshan in his room. He did the same thing last year and happily fulfilled his desired request to keep up the tradition. It was a light-hearted, happy occasion, and each devotee had the opportunity to come forward to present some dakshana. Srila Prabhupada encouraged them all to go on working together to maintain their enthusiasm by preaching and kirtan, and to go on worshipping the deities very gorgeously. He told the devotees that we have to follow the spiritual master's instructions, perfect ourselves first, and then others. Putting emphasis on the need to preach, he said, we all have to become guru, and even if there is a split, still the standard should not change. It was just like him and his godmother said, there is no disagreement. As far as standard of worship is concerned, Prabhupada also stressed that the highest service is to distribute his books. Throughout the visit, Ugrasrava Prabhu has been snapping photos at every opportunity, especially in Srila Prabhupada's room when he receives guests. Prabhupada has allowed him a fair bit of freedom, and Ugrasrava took full advantage. He showed up some of the visitors today. The best one was beautiful close-up of Prabhupada's lotus feet, taken as he relaxed on his asana, showing all the lines on his soles of his right foot. Although I massage his feet every day, still I never tire of seeing them. They are all attractive, a constant reminder of the shelter we all seek to attain. Srila Prabhupada Lila Mutki.